your stars is on the floor. You can't protect the city, man.
Deep cut. Deep cut. Deep cut. Deep cut geeks.
Hello, foodies and geeks. I'm Matt Man.
And I'm Tommy Tuzas.
And together we are
the Deep Fried Geeks.
Our weekly podcast where we talk about food, movies, comics, TV shows, and general geek news. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, baby.
How are you doing, man?
I'm good.
Good. Anything new?
Nope.
We did not. There was San Diego Comic Con was last week.
Yes, it was. We mentioned it a little bit. I think we did last week.
We did not go.
Sadly, no. We haven't quite made it to that status yet.
But I'm exhausted.
You're still exhausted from all the stuff that San Diego is putting out.
I feel like I was nonstop.
There's
like
a lot
on geek news websites and watching IMDb.com with Kevin Smith and
a lot
and
reposting
stuff on our page and reading articles, and I'm still getting caught up from Comic-Con
stuff.
It's
a busy week for the geeks today.
It was a good week, though. Lots of good stuff that we will talk later on about. Also, a good week was the Killing Joke movie came out.
Yeah, the animated version of Killing Joke came out.
So it is now on...
You can buy digital.
You can buy digital.
I'm assuming
Blu-ray. I don't think you can do DVD yet.
Oh, yeah? Okay. But
I think
digital's out.
I think the release date for Blu-ray and DVD is August 2nd. But they had a special showing on Monday and Tuesday in some areas. We went Monday night saw it. So we thought this would be a good week to talk about the Killing Joke. All things Killing Joke. I had a couple people say they wanted us to have more food talk, too. So we're not only going to do geek stuff, we're also going to have some food talk
this week.
We
talk always a lot about
food.
Yeah,
we do. But we had, for a while there, we had a little stretch of, like,
all right,
just common geek stuff. Like,
right,
maybe 4 or 5 episodes.
Okay.
So we are going to talk about seafood start off. Oh, sorry.
I see you.
I'm sorry. Hold on.
You see me.
Food, glorious food.
Okay, now we can talk about
seafood.
I was gonna say, you can't just jump right in there. You gotta cook the shellfish before you eat it.
Well, you could. You can eat it raw, too. People eat shellfish raw.
That's cray cray. I always like at least steamed. If it's
really?
Like,
okay.
At least steamed.
All right. We'll get there. So the reason why we decided to talk about shellfish is in the Killing Joke. You want to see if you can turn to the page? Show the peeps. I'm sorry, I made you leave where you're at.
Keep talking.
Oh, we were going to do our introduction with the reading of the comic,
too. We did,
too.
But that didn't
forgot
happen.
About that.
Nope.
We're going to do that. You wanna,
I didn't.
We'll wait until after the shellfish.
Okay, see?
I'm sorry.
See, he's eating the shellfish.
They're eating the shellfish. Yes.
Noir style.
So in the book, there's a spot where it goes back to kind of the Joker's origin.
Or a possible origin.
Or possible origin.
Because even he admits things have changed.
And during it, it's black and white. So while they're doing that, they rip open, they're eating shellfish. And the only thing on the cells that's colored is the bright red
shellfish.
Pretty cool.
There's a few random things that are colored, but I don't know if it's only shellfish, though.
Okay. The shellfish, I think, is the one that visually stands out the most. Everything
the
else
red,
is very
red
pale
hood.
Colors. Okay.
The red hood stands out, because that's another key point of his origin.
So, I thought we'd talk about shellfish
regular
this
shrimp.
Week. Regular shrimp? Okay, so they really like shrimp for
they
some
do.
Reason.
They do. The Joker loved shrimp probably back in the day.
Interesting. I'll have to look that up and see why so much shrimp. Because later on when he's fighting Batman, there's shrimp too in the fighting in the room they're fighting in.
Yep. Because he remade his house.
Tom, shellfish is a culinary and fishery term for exoskeleton-bearing aquatic invertebrates.
They're sea bugs!
Including various species of mollusks.
Think about
crustaceans,
that.
And echinoderms. Although most kinds of them are harvested from saltwater environments, some kinds are found in freshwater. In addition, a few land crabs are eaten. For example, and some kind of land crab in the Caribbean.
Land crab.
So yes, they are. Some shellfish are a relative of roaches and insects. You were correct.
Think about that when next time you're eating a big old fancy $25 lobster.
I will, and I will enjoy it, and I will be like, this is a delicious cockroach. I also read on Facebook today.
Let's go, gracias.
And it's Facebook.
El Grande.
I'm getting my news from Facebook, so okay, that's
so it's,
right.
It's legit.
It's legit.
I mean, so, that's why I didn't vaccinate my kids. Facebook told me not
but
to.
But the news I saw is that a new kind of milk they're putting out is cockroach milk. So I need to look that up. Because
cockroaches have milk?
I don't know. They must have little baby nipples.
Little cockroach nipples. Cockroaches have nipples, Greg. Can you milk them?
I have nipples. Can you milk me?
The only thing I can think of is they take like regular milk and like grind cockroaches in it because I don't think they have mammary glands because they're not mammals.
That's so gross.
The whole concept is gross. Elements. Whether it's actually milked cockroach milk.
I would rather drink their baby cockroach nipple milk than cockroach nipple. than ground up cockroaches.
Well, there's more protein with the ground up cockroaches. Oh, so it's like disturbing like dairy farm of cockroaches everywhere.
They got little like vacuums hooked up to little cockroach
nipples.
Little itty
bitty ones. This is so wrong. Oh man. We'll end with that.
Well, at least they're not hand milking.
I don't think you could like. You get like tweezers or something.
You have to get like tweezers. I'm drinking it straight out of the nipple.
You can't drink it from the tap. You're gonna eat the whole damn cockroach.
That's so awful. Okay.
Plus, like you wouldn't get much milk from one cockroach.
You would not get.
You have
very
to have
much
a whole army or whatever.
Cockroach,
whatever a whole more than one cockroach is.
Where's our producer to look this up for
oh
us?
Oh my
when
gosh.
We need him?
Oh. This is so wrong. He should be live.
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh, anyway.
let's
change the topic, please.
There are all sorts of different kinds of shellfish. Some things that are considered shellfish are oysters, mussels, clams, shrimp, prawns, lobsters, crayfish, crabs, cuttlefish, octopus, and squid.
Octopus, huh?
Because they're invertebrates. Invertebrates. They don't have... So
they
that's
have spines,
why
but
they don't have spines. That's why they consider them shellfish, I guess.
I guess
that Wikipedia put them in the category.
Well, if Wikipedia said so, then it must.
I know Wikipedia.
Might as well Facebook.
Would you trust Facebook news or Wikipedia news more?
Neither. Go to the Board of Health or like government run.
I know.
Website.
Wikipedia is easiest though because when you Google
it's
just
always
pops
the first
up.
One. Yeah. I don't know. Octopus, I guess, have a beak, which is like a shell. I don't know.
So when you think of shellfish, what's the first thing that pops up?
Crabs, lobsters, shrimp, stuff like that.
Yep. Crab, lobster, shrimp. Right. Yeah. Have you eaten all of those things we just listed?
I have
off?
Not had crayfish. Well, crayfish and prawns are almost the same, though, aren't they?
No, a prawn is pretty much a bigger shrimp.
Okay, what's a crayfish, then?
Crayfish is a baby lobster. Crayfish is more freshwater than it is saltwater.
Cuttlefish I have not had.
Okay, I've not had cuttlefish.
I've had calamari
either.
And octopus.
Yeah. Cuttlefish is the only one I have not had of that group.
The cuttlefish.
What is your favorite type of...
Shrimp.
Shrimp?
I'm just going
to... You throw down some shrimp?
I could throw down a massive amount of shrimp.
What's your go-to kind of shrimp?
Like a shrimp platter with cocktail sauce. So steamed.
Oh, you like the cold shrimp?
Oh, yeah.
So they steam it and then they chill it and you dip that bitch in cocktail.
Oh, dip that little lady in.
You're a tasty little bitch.
Bite that bitch.
I'm going to make you my bitch, you little cocky little shrimp. You're a time of two star shrimp bitch now.
We have taken an interesting turn in these first 9 minutes.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, sure.
What are some other ways that you like to eat shrimp?
Yeah. With like maybe like well, again it's more steamed, but like in like a pasta like so shrimp Alfredo, linguine, stuff like that.
So with other things in it. I like peel and eat shrimp.
Peel and eat shrimp.
That's
kind of
my go-to. Peel and eat shrimp.
Do you have it with the head or without the head?
I think most of the time they serve it without the head. So
yes, they usually do.
Most of the time I eat that little bitch.
Well, last time I...
Children watch this show.
And
as they talk about milk and cows.
Bitch is like a PG rated word now.
Not, so?
They say that word on the radio.
We have to be higher than the American standard.
I think we would be
It's
FCC
not a PG dude. Word.
We might be able to get away with it once. You've jumped up to PG-13 when you've said it like 5 times in 30 seconds.
Knowing me and how I redo jokes, I'll probably say it another 8 times.
That's probably true. So,
grilled shrimp is good.
I like grilled shrimp on the barbie.
Like bacon wrapped shrimp.
You gotta say it like
on shrimp. The barbie.
Shrimp on the barbie.
Crikey, you throw them bad boys down there on the barbie and I'll eat that bitch.
Crikey, throw that little bitch on the barbie.
Throw that frying pan. <over. laughs> What have we done? I'm so confused.
So, okay, so other ways you can eat shrimp, they do it in sushi too, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Like shrimp tempura rolls, stuff like that. Shrimp tempura is good.
And pretty much any of the shellfish we just named, can be eaten any of those ways. You
That's
can
true.
Eat it in pasta, you can eat it steamed, you can eat it boiled, you can eat it in sushi, right?
Yep.
And
I've never had a cuttlefish sushi, but
I've never had cuttlefish. I wonder if it likes to cuddle. You eat it.
I know we do. we're cuttlefish.
My favorite seafood is lobster.
Lobster.
I really like lobster.
High class tastes, fancy red cockroach man.
Yeah, I like my red cockroaches. Lobster milk is delicious. Also.
I figured like cockroach milk, $1 a gallon. Lobster milk, $50 a gallon.
I like lobster just straight up steamed, like in a lobster boil.
Just
they
boil
just
it
drop
pop,
it right in there, and then they get the other stuff.
Live lobster
heard
scream.
Yeah, lobster's probably my favorite. You know that's just the shell, like the gas.
The steam.
I've
heard that,
shell.
But I don't believe it.
They're not actually screaming.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to try to kill the lobster one time. We'll have to have lobster here, kill it, and then cook it and see what happens.
Cold son of a bitch. You can do that.
It's the word of the day! R.I.P. We heard my impression time now.
Hey, Matter! You guys know what the word of the day is? Bitch. I just picture people typing it on the live and being there and start freaking out for no reason.
So I really like lobster.
Lobster mac and cheese is legit.
Lobster mac and cheese is pretty awesome. Lobster rolls, I like a good hot lobster roll. The cold one's good too, but like some places put like way too much mayonnaise on it and stuff.
Yeah.
But my preferred way is just in the shell and breaking that baby apart.
That's a lot of work,
going
but
to
it's
town.
It, yeah.
Butter, crab is the same way. That's my favorite way to eat crab.
Snow crab, king, what do you like?
Oh,
blue.
I really like blue crab. There's a place in Punta Gorda here in Florida called Peace River Seafood.
Yep.
And you can go and you can get blue crab straight from the Peace River. And all you can eat for like $30.
That's not
you
too bad.
You could just go to town on those things. The only problem is they're really small, so you really got to pick at them.
Yeah.
But those are really good. I would say if I had to like pick, you can't beat king crab.
King crab, you get a lot of meat.
Because you get a lot of meat and the chunks are super big and you just dip it in butter and just go to town. Mm-hmm. I think anything would just taste good and dipped in butter.
Yeah, butter crab, blah,
butter,
cockroach milk.
Cockroaches? Would cockroaches taste good in butter?
I've never tried it.
No. Have you eaten bugs in general ever? Have you ever had bugs?
I've never tried. Well, I was a kid. I may have experimented. But I've never consciously like
crickets are good.
Yeah, you've had like fried crickets.
Yeah, I've had fried crickets.
Ants.
I've had the pan fried where they like pan fry it and then they put like Cajun spice on it and stuff.
Ooh, Cajun crickets. Yeah. Oh.
I've had the like the tequila suckers with the scorpions in them too.
What?
Yeah, those are good too. Have you ever eaten the worms out of a tequila bottle?
Yeah.
Me neither.
I've heard bad stories about
me
doing
too.
That.
We should do that one time.
We should
have you come over and spend the night and we could videotape it.
That'd be super special for all you at all. They're going to be laughing while we're throwing up.
So back to seafood. So if you had to pick, like, I know you said shrimp is your favorite sea, like, shellfish, right? Uh-huh. But if you had to pick one shellfish dish that you could eat only for the rest of your life, is the only shellfish you could eat ever again, what would it be?
Man, that kind of sucks.
I know, it does suck.
I hate having to narrow my food. I like so much food.
You hate it when I do that to you.
I love all foods. Well, it's a broccoli, but either way.
And cockroach milk.
It tastes horrible on my cereal. Maybe if I could only eat a king crab.
Just king crab.
If I had a thing of
butter. So you're just gonna throw your little shrimp bitches out the window. Shrimp bitches. You're like, sorry, bitch, I don't wanna eat you anymore.
I love shrimp and all that. Crab is just so elegant.
Yeah, it is pretty good and elegant.
The butter.
I agree. Mine would be similar. I'm gonna cheat here. Mine, because I just said a shellfish dish, right?
Yeah.
So mine would be like a steam pot.
No, it was about
with like crab, lobster, clams.
Well, dadgummit, I would have just had, like, seafood gumbo. I love that. You're cheating zombie.
Cheater!
Actually, I'll take that back. I'll have steamed mussels. Steamed mussels.
You like steamed mussels?
I love mussels. Ooh.
So, out of the shells, your favorite is the mussels.
Oh, I love mussels.
Have you ever had the mussels at Carrabba's?
I think so.
Those are pretty good. Again, it's in butter. So, I mean, you can really... We could cook up anything and put it in butter and salt. And it's gonna. So they cook it in garlic, butter, and wine. You could eat my foot.
Butter your foot and I'll take a bite out of that bitch.
Oh. It's a
and I collect a high and I go. Hi, ladies.
So what is... Have you ever had clams?
Yes.
You like clams?
Clams are good. Oysters. They're gonna be cooked right. Oysters.
Oh.
I like.
Have you ever had raw oysters?
I
gotta throw down some raw oysters, man. Oyster shooters. You put those little guys. And
little guys. <huh?
laughs> I'm trying to get away from the word of the day because eventually you're gonna say that I'm making it R-rated.
Someone throws out an F-bomb and it's over.
No F-bombs yet. Just the B-word.
The bees.
Lots of
dropping some heavy bees.
Somebody should count how many times he's on the
B-word. Raw oysters
are pretty amazing. And you put them in the little shooter glass. You can get a little shot and you do vodka and you put a little oyster guy in there.
Yeah.
And then... a little horseradish and a little bit of cocktail sauce. And bam, throw that guy back. So good.
I guess the last time I had it, they were raw and they just didn't taste right.
Okay. We need to go somewhere where they're good.
Yeah, although I did have it like a buffet. That's probably why.
That's your problem. Yeah. That's your problem. You put a little... I usually put like horseradish on it, and that's usually about it. Sometimes I'll put it on a cracker, put horseradish,
what you and then
a
little
cocktail
son?
Sauce on it.
Throwing them on crackers? What you trying to say over here?
Tony Mon crackers, did you say?
I'm trying to throw them on cracker. I don't like it when you call me a cracker.
Oh,
it just got me.
I thought you said something about Tony Montana.
You want to eat the cracker? Okay, let's eat a cracker.
Say hello to my little bitch.
Say hello to my little bitch. And another one.
Eating it on a cracker is pretty awesome. Larry?
You missed the first part, what we were talking about.
Larry just takes... We're on Facebook Live, so we're talking to people on Facebook Live to you, for those people who are just listening. You take the little knife and they chuck it, right?
Yeah.
Larry will just take that bad boy and blah, put it in her mouth. She won't put anything on it.
Really?
I bet you Larry could... Or I need to do like a oyster eating contest with Larry, because she could probably throw down. So we need to go take you somewhere where they're good. Have you ever had cooked oysters, like Oysters Casino or something where they bake them?
Not that I think, no.
Okay. Clam chowder?
I love clam chowder.
Alright.
Another one, like a seafood Alfredo dish where they put clams and shrimp, crab, those are good.
So somebody was mad on Facebook Live. Sorry, mad person on Facebook Live.
Although we are talking about I didn't like it in the first either.
Somebody's mad that it's PG-13 because I've said the B word so many times.
I'm with you on that one. Oh,
change the tone here.
So, seafood.
I forget what I was talking about.
Clams and oysters.
Clam chowder.
Clam chowder.
I think we talked about.
Were you in Manhattan or New England?
Caraba. Oh.
Let's start. Let's take a time out real quick.
New England.
New England?
New England's more soupy.
About seven times we've got. It's got to be more than that. There's no way it's only more seven.
More than seven. New England clam chowder is the more soupy version, right? Yes. And Manhattan's thicker.
The creamier one, yeah.
I like New England a little bit
more. No, New England's the creamier one.
Yes, you were right. I like New England more than the Manhattan one. I like it when you get the big chunks of clam and potato. Obviously. Mm. I like it when like places put a little bit more garlic in it, too. Okay. Outback Steakhouse, believe it or not, back in the day, used to have amazing...
clam chowder?
Amazing. Bitchin' clam chowder. Eight.
Oh, snap.
their clam chowder was amazing.
I would never have thought to have that at
Outback Steakhouse. Oh, it was so good, man. They don't have it anymore. They got rid of it a long time ago.
That's not really like Australian-esque food.
Yeah. Since we're on a kick of restaurants getting away from seafood items, Carrabba's had a seafood dish.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget, it was called like a paella, and it was a spicy pasta dish with scallops, shrimp, and like clams in it.
Okay.
It was so good. And like mussels, and it was amazing. And they got rid of that too.
I don't know. I'm always a more of an Olive Garden type person, so Carrabba's was in there every once in a while.
So perfect segue. Where is your favorite place to get seafood?
Well, if I'm going for just general seafood, Red Lobster's good, especially when you can do all-you-can-eat shrimp. Just go to town.
Shrimp Fest?
Shrimp Fest.
Do they call it Shrimp Fest?
Or Lobster Fest and all-you-can-eat. Lobster Fest
Bitch
and all-you-can-eat
shrimp.
Nine!
they do all-you-can-eat lobster when they do Lobster Fest,
too?
No,
I think they just have different lobster dishes.
Okay.
So they just do like random stuff they don't sell.
I've had good experiences and I've had bad experiences at Red Lobster.
Bonefish?
That's a good somebody place. Said Bonefish. I've been to Bonefish one time and I had their Bang Bang shrimp.
Oh, I love Bang Bang.
That was
shrimp.
Pretty amazing.
Sriracha sauce?
Yes. That was pretty good. I can't remember anything else from that visit because I think I drank too much because I was on a work trip.
Surprise!
Surprise, my man, drinking too much! I'm gonna take another sip of my beverage now.
That's a non. It's Diet Coke.
You're covering yours.
It's Diet Coke. It's why it's in a silver can.
Red Lobster, I've had good experiences and I have bad experiences. The thing that's always solid about Red Lobster, though.
Uh-huh.
Or the Cheddar Bay biscuits.
Oh, the Cheddar Bay.
Mm. Oh!
You can't cook them the way they do, too.
You buy the pre-mix and it's just
doesn't
not
work.
As good. I could, and then when you take them home and like try to heat them back up in the microwave.
Also doesn't work.
No. You gotta be there.
It's gotta be fresh.
I have one time gone and ate three baskets.
Just baskets?
Yeah, they just kept. No, I've had other food, but they just kept bringing out
the
Cheddar Bay
biscuits.
I want to
try that one day. Just show up like, man, I start with the water. It's like, you want some? let me just think around.
I'm still looking at the menu.
Just bring me some biscuits.
Just bring some biscuits and we'll see what happens.
And then like half hour later it's walking.
I've had a whole lobster from Red Lobster before.
I have tried that.
That was good too. The best seafood I've ever had a restaurant experience was in Boston. I went to Boston and I had like a steam pot with lobster.
I mean, if we're going seafood, I love Amimoto's because they have really good sushi. That's seafood, in my opinion. Technically,
you're right.
But
so,
like shellfish, if I were to go with best shellfish, there's a restaurant in Punta Gorda called I'm going to shout it out, the Royal Thai. They make a good mussels in a pot. I grew up on that. It was really good.
Huh? Is it still open?
It's still open.
You have to take me there.
I might take you there.
We'll try that. I'm a fan. You know, we're going pretty local, so anybody who's listening not local, sorry. Peace River Seafood. It's pretty awesome. Too. I mentioned that before,
actually,
too.
The Royal Tide's like further down 17.
Okay. I also had shrimp in Key West one time at just a little mom and pop shack thing. That was pretty amazing, too. I think you're right, though. For a consistent seafood dish, I think it's for, like, general-wise, Red Lobster, probably. Red Lobster, yeah. For, like, shellfish. I think that's kind of a good go-to.
Because they have a lot of awesome crab dishes. Right. And a lot of good shrimp dishes. Lobster, they specialize the lobster pizza.
They
lobster
do,
mac
for
and
sure.
Cheese.
I did not know that you could buy Bang Bang shrimp by the dozen.
I would love... Where?
Thank you, Facebook fan.
Tell me where.
I think she's saying add bonefish. Because I only got them as, like, the appetizer. So, have you ever tried to eat, make your own shellfish at home?
What, like, what? By
I don't know. Have you
by splicing?
Cooked anything at home before?
I've...
For shellfish?
Sure,
like,
no.
Have you made shrimp at home? Or, like, boiled it?
No,
or?
No. Well, no. Nothing that's, like, in a bag or something that's, like, you just throw in the... Steam it and you're good to go.
Probably about... Twice a year, we'll do, usually around Christmas time, we'll do a big crab boil. So, like, a low country boil. And we'll put, well, not crab, but more shrimp. We'll put a bunch of shrimp in there. We get fresh Gulf shrimp, potatoes, corn, and onions. Mm-hmm. And then we'll, like, throw some maybe crab legs in there, too, if we're getting real fancy. Ooh. And we'll do that, and that's always pretty amazing to do that at home, and you put a lot of boil on.
Yeah, Christmas Eve, we go to my brother-in-law's parents, and they all do... crab legs and shrimp and stuff.
Yeah. You can't beat Old Bay seasoning. Old Bay seasoning is like the magic spice for...
Good timing. Reading
that
your
was pretty perfect. someone on Facebook Live said Old Bay seasoning the same time I did. Old Bay seasoning you cannot beat because you making it at home or whatever. Like when you go to like Crab Shack, something... In, you know, I went to, like, Peace River. They give you a side, like, pile of Old Bay seasoning. You just dip the bad boy, the crab, in there. I don't think shellfish would be what it is without Old Bay seasoning. So, all praise hell to Old Bay.
Let's take down that.
I don't know who...
It's blasphemy.
So. I'm not saying...
Praise
can,
to the Old Bay.
You can praise... All hail. You can praise other things than God.
No, I can't.
No? Mm-mm. I'm gonna later.
Alone
I'm gonna,
is worth
later.
My
I'm gonna.
What am alone is worth my praise.
What am alone. Later on, I'm gonna praise the Killing Joke comic book.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that I'm like bowing down and like, worshiping it. Oh, Leviticus is joined. But Old Bay, you cannot get any better than that. What do you think you... What are some things we could put Old Bay on that would make it better than it is already? Well, because usually put Old Bay on shellfish, right?
So it would work on fish, too? Like salmon, tuna fish?
I'm sure it would.
Like an ahi tuna.
What about putting Old Bay on a steak? Do you think that would kind of ruin it?
No. Yeah, I think it would be like... No. I think that would actually... I would try it.
Ooh, you could brew a beer with Old Bay.
An Old Bay beer.
An Old Bay beer. That'd be pretty good, too. Shellfish is delicious. All different ways you can eat shellfish.
Like
do
that.
You? We always like to end our food talk talking about
food
memories, right? Because I always say that food is only as good as the memory that is with it, right? I could have a $100 bottle of wine,
And just boring night.
But my $5 bottle of wine. Might be better than my $100 bottle of wine because the memory that's
you're blocking
along,
me out
that goes along with it, right? I could eat shrimp, have an experience at home where I'm eating shrimp with my family, and that experience could be better, and I could appreciate shrimp more because of that.
Go
right?
Spend like a $100 meal by yourself.
Yeah,
I agree with
so
you.
So it's memories. Like if I had to choose between. A lobster meal or a National Coney Island chili dog, I'd probably choose the National Coney Island chili dog. And that's probably a lot more...
We could talk about shrimp tacos.
Well, somebody... Leviticus asked us on Facebook Live when we were talking about tacos. We're not going to be able to talk about tacos until our Mexican is with us present.
Yeah, that wouldn't be fair. You got to be here with us, and we'll talk about the tacos,
senor.
So I would choose a chili dog meal over a lobster meal any day of the week because of the memories that are with it, right? So do you have any shellfish memories that you could think of that are like,
when you say, when you say that too fast, it sounds like my memories are self-centered.
Your shellfish memories.
You go first.
It probably involves putting the bitches in your mouth, right? You little so shrimp many. Bitches.
I don't know. I'm just...
At this point, we have an inside joke from earlier in the episode. The people who just joined 11, have no idea what we're talking about.
Or the count that Maddie Man said the B word is either 11 or 12. Let's go with 12.
Somebody just talked about National Honeys, too, because I got on the National Coney Island talk. So, honeys are pretty amazing. They're like, it's in pita bread, and you take, like, it's got like fried chicken, and they cut it up and they put that on the... Said it again.
Put it on the lady.
You put the chicken on the pita bread, and then I think it's like a ranch sauce they put on it, and then just like straight up lettuce and tomatoes, and it's literally, and cheese too, and cheese.
And cheese.
It's amazing. It's one of the most beautiful things in the world.
Confused, is there shellfish on there?
No, there's not.
Where did this come from?
Somebody on Facebook Live mentioned a national.
Why?
Because I talked about National Coney Island hot dogs.
You're confusing the people at home.
Listening to something.
Talk
podcast.
To about your shellfish memories.
My shellfish memories.
You're so shellfish.
For me, a shellfish, like, probably my favorite shellfish memory is probably pretty recent. Going back to my trip to Boston with my wife, and just, we ate a lot of shellfish that weekend. We had a lobster, and,
Little pause real quick. I forgot about a local staple we have. The Crab House has great shellfish and seafood.
Oh, Lashley's Crab House? I'm not a fan of Lashley's Crab House.
You're not?
I've had bad experiences there. Somebody else brought up Fishbones. Mm-hmm. Fishbones is a place in downtown Detroit, which is pretty good, too. But we ate lobster. Well, you had the lobster, and then we had lobster rolls, and I think we had oysters, and that was pretty great. And then another time, pretty recent, too, I went to New Orleans with Stu, who's on the thing for work meeting, and went to Acme Oyster House, and we ate so much food, like, it was ridiculous. We had po' boys, and oysters, and crab claws, and it was just ridiculous.
Did you eat Roadrunner?
We did not. Why would we eat Roadrunner?
Because Acme.
As soon as Acme came out of my mouth, you were waiting for that joke, weren't you? Like,
is this run by some sort of Warner Brothers Corporation?
Did you think of a shellfish memory yet?
No, anybody who listens to this podcast knows that I eat too darn much to have a specific memory about everything, sadly.
What is, like, one the first thing you think of when we talk about
shellfish?
When I
think of shellfish, I think of every Christmas Eve, I go to my brother-in-law's parents' house, and I go to town on some shrimp and some crab legs.
Because they do that boil. So how many years have they been doing that for?
Well, they've been doing it for a lot longer than I've known them. I've been doing it with them for the last 5-6 years.
So that's a great memory. That's exactly what we're talking about. Okay. That's beautiful.
Yeah. That's more like a tradition than a memory. That's
but it's still a memory. Because you've got 5 years of memorizing.
Yeah. All right, good point. Just splitting hairs. Right. Split.
Okay. I'm trying really hard just not to say that cuss word over and over and over again. All right. So that's our shellfish talk for today. If we forgot any shellfish or any places that you like, let us know on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Joe's Crab Shack. I've never been.
Any of that stuff. You can find us on @DeepFriedGeeks. You can look us up on any of those places of social media-ness.
Yep. Instagrams, Facebooks.
Yes. Yes. Any of that stuff. You can email me at madman.blog@gmail.com. let us know anything we missed, or maybe send us. Or if you're going to eat any shellfish anytime soon, take pictures of it, tag us, hashtag Deep Fried Geeks, hashtag
put it in my mouth.
All right. Now what everybody's been waiting for, we're going to be going into the Killing Joke Talk.
There we go.
So to start off the Killing Joke Talk,
we're going to do this now.
We are going to put some stuff in our ears, nice words of awesomeness. Right. So what we thought we would do is Tommy is good at the impressions. I am not, but I'm going to try to help here. We are going to read two pages from the Killing Joke, probably my favorite excerpt from the whole comic,
okay.
I would think. Okay, so bear with us. It's going to be amazing. Anybody who's not listening, I feel bad for you. But if they...
Shame on you, because this is going to be good.
It is going to be good.
I mean, what is it with you? What made you who you are? Girlfriend killed by the mob, maybe? Brother carved up by some mugger? Something like that, I bet. I like that. I don't know. Something like that happened to me, you know. I'm not exactly sure what it was. Sometimes I remember it one way, sometimes another. If I'm going to have a past, I prefer it to be multiple choices. But my point is, I went crazy. When I saw what a black, awful joke the world was, I went crazy as a coot. I admit it. Why can't you? I mean, you're not unintelligent. You must see the reality of the situation. Do you know how many times I've come close to the World War III over a flock of geese on a computer screen? Do you know what triggered the last World War? An argument over how many telegraph poles Germany owed in the World War debt creditors. Telegraph poles! It's all a joke. Everything anybody ever valued or struggled for, it's all a monstrous, demented gag. So why can't you see the funny side? Why aren't you laughing?
Because I've heard it before. And it wasn't funny the first time. Incidentally, I spoke to Commissioner Gordon before I came in here. He's fine. Despite all your sick, vicious little games, he's as sane as he ever was. So maybe ordinary people don't always crack. Maybe there isn't any need to crawl under a rock with all the other slimy things when trouble hits. Maybe it was just you all the time.
Ooh, that was good. I enjoyed you. Like, I just could hear you read that whole comic in that voice. You're so amazing.
It hurts a little
bit. I was having a little bromance there. Like, I was feeling like in love with you. Bad bromance. That was beautiful. Good job.
You're welcome.
So, if you don't know a whole lot about the Killing Joke,
Batman?
I'm surprised you're listening to this podcast.
He dresses like a bat.
Yes.
Joker tells bad jokes. Done.
That is kind of the whole. The Killing Joke was a one-off comic. It was released in 1988. Believe it or not.
It's older than me.
It is an old comic. Man. And a lot of people, when they read it, I think are surprised how old it is.
Yeah.
Because it is very edgy.
It's edgy.
Very dark. Very.
The art style is very modern looking.
Very deep. Very modern looking art style, yes. It was written by Alan Moore. And it was illustrated by Brian Boland.
Yes.
The art style is really good. Great art style. That copy I have was a re-release. I think, put out in 2008, the deluxe edition. The deluxe edition is really cool because it has a little insert. It has a little beginning thing by Alan Moore. I think it has one by Tim Burton too,
which is a little snippy by Tim.
Which is, I think, inside too. The forward is by somebody.
I think it's by
maybe Chris Nolan. The forward by somebody good. I know that. And then the end has another little one-off story, which is really good too.
It's an interesting story.
I think a lot of the individual cells in from this
Tim
book.
Tim Sale, I guess.
Tim Sale, okay, all right. He's a comic book writer too. I thought it was. There's got to be another book I read with Christopher Nolan then doing the forward. It's an interesting book. Because it really kind of dives deep into the psyche of the Joker.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's so popular. Because it's the only book that really kind of gives us a deep Joker story and a deep origin story for the Joker. Some critics claim that it's the definitive Joker story or the definitive Batman story. It is very critically acclaimed. A lot of people love this book. Some people have even gone to call it the more definitive comic book story.
Really?
Like if you're only going to read one comic book the rest of your life, you need to read Killing Joke. I like Killing Joke, but I don't think I'd put it in my top 10 list.
No? It's a good book.
I don't think I'd put it in my top 10.
It's a very key issue with the main plot. I don't know if you haven't read it by now. I mean, it's so
You need to read it. It's 28 years old, so we're not going to pull any punches or spoilers. We're just going to give you spoilers and stuff and talk about this. So if you don't want to hear spoilers from the movie or the comic, you probably should pause right now.
Yeah, we're going to
come back.
We're going to talk about the movie.
We are going to talk about the movie. This comic is important.
It is very important to the key Batverse.
It is very important to the key Batverse. I think it's almost as important as Dark Knight Returns because it kind of dives into the darkness.
Yeah, it's very dark.
In any, I would say, any story we have now with going and diving into the relationship or Joker and Batman and they're like, I need you, you need me, comes from the Killing Joke.
Yeah.
Dark Knight got a lot of influence from the Killing Joke. They said that themselves. So, you've read it just recently, right? You had never really read
it. I've never read the whole thing. I knew the premise and stuff like that.
Well, what did you think about it? What did you get out of it? Like, what does this book mean to you as a Batman fan?
It has a whole point where you know Batman, he's normally a crime fighter detective, but this is the first time I ever saw him try to rationalize with the Joker. He's like, I don't want to be fighting you the rest of my life. This is going to end with either me killing you or you killing me, so we have to try and fix this. And that's kind of different because you expect, Batman just like, I'm done, throw him in Arkham.
Gonna punch him in his turkey neck, right?
He's just gonna punch him, throw him in Arkham, that's it. But he's actually trying to rationalize with him and trying to be real on him, but Joker just, he can't. He's just too far gone.
I think that's what it means to me too. I think it shows the heart of Batman that I think this is what makes Batman a lot different than one of my biggest problems with some of the movies is because they can't really dive into this as Batman. Is he cares about the villains?
Yeah.
That's why he always puts them in Arkham because he wants to rehabilitate them.
Right.
And he wants to make them better.
He doesn't kill them because
he believes they can get better. And that was a big thing with Dark Knight Returns. Like, he believes that Two-Face could get better. Like, he didn't.
He was worried
about it. But he always hopes and he always wants him to. And that's a big premise of the Killing Joke. Is the whole time he's hoping and wishing that he can help make the Joker better. Because he's like, hey, if we don't, either you're gonna die or I'm gonna die.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite part of the comic? What's your favorite, like, was the art your favorite? Was there a certain page that you liked?
The most iconic part, the most iconic still in the whole book is when he's like standing over the puddle and he just became like poisoned by the chemicals and he's standing there. And he's got his hair back and he's got the blood running out of his eyes.
The ha 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 behind it?
Yeah, and he's got his bleached skin and he just saw himself for the first time.
That is very iconic now. I think Jason from Shamrock Comics actually has that tattooed. Joker tattoo. That is a very iconic comic style now. I really like that too. For me, I really enjoy Jim Gordon. And kind of my favorite part is, like I talked about, Batman trying to rehabilitate the Joker. But I also like how Jim is stripped naked. His daughter shot. Oh, maybe dead. Jim doesn't know at this point.
Yeah.
Naked pictures taken. Him stripped down. Her stripped down.
The torturing.
Getting tortured. And then when Batman releases him, he's like, you gotta do this by the book.
You can't break Jim.
You can't, you know,
the
he's
iron
like,
will
he's
of
like,
Jim
you, I'm getting teary-eyed just thinking about this. And after all this hard stuff he's been through, he's just like, you gotta bring him by the book. You gotta show him our way is the right way.
Yeah.
And I really love that part. It shows Jim Gordon just like...
How much an actual hero he is. He's not like, you know, Superman who's got powers, but he still believes in justice, true justice. Not like Batman. Justice!
What don't you like about the book? What's one thing that really kind of bugged you about it, or something that you dislike?
The way it ended.
Yeah.
It doesn't really end.
Right.
It just
it is a very weird ending.
Joker tells a joke, and then they both laugh, and then it pans down, that's it. He doesn't take him to Arkham, or like something like that. It just ends.
I think a lot of people like that ending, because it shows like, in leaving it up for interpretation, like did Batman snap? Did Batman's bad day send him over the edge to where he snapped and killed Joker, or did he just take him away? And that's kind of the interpretation it's leaving it up for.
Okay,
really, I think it's what they're going for is us thinking, okay, did all that send Batman over the edge, or is he just grabbing him and ziplining him up or something like that, or taking him
or they
him
just off. Go up and have a steak. Let's go to some random diner.
Throw a goat and have some little boiled little shrimp bitches.
13.
So my least favorite part of that book is probably I really don't like the beginning and how he sits down and he's having that talk with him.
The random,
That's just the random talk. How just the beginning is just like, it's like Batman wants to go have a date with
Joker. Literally just decides to go talk to Joker.
He just decides to go talk and he's like, I've been thinking a lot lately about that, blah, blah, blah. Right? And it just, it seemed kind
of
weird to me.
I like that speech though, but you're right. It just seems like out of nowhere. He's like, I think we should just stop by and check on the Joker.
Right.
I have something I want to talk to him about. It's been kind of keeping me up all night.
So, that's our kind of take on the Killing Joke comic. It's a good comic overall.
Yeah, it's a good comic.
It's enjoyable. If you haven't read it, read it. It could be one of your favorite comics you ever read, because I know it's a lot of people's favorite comics they've ever read. It is good. Top 20, maybe.
And he paralyzes Barbara Gordon in it by shooting her in the spine.
Yeah, so it's kind of the origin
maybe
story.
Maybe an important part.
It's kind of the origin story of Oracle.
Yeah, that might be important. I don't know.
It's pretty intense. And they kind of leave it open to where whether or not other things happen, too.
Yeah.
Because the Joker takes her clothes off and takes pictures. So it is really dark. It is twisted. If you don't like that kind of stuff, don't read this book.
It's very dark.
It's very, very dark. So if you're not into that kind of stuff, don't read it. Don't watch the movie.
Circus freaks scare you? Don't read it.
Yeah, for sure.
Or if you're afraid of clowns, the Joker's a clown, so don't read it.
Yes, that's fine.
If you're allergic to shellfish, don't read it.
Don't even touch the page.
Don't touch it.
The shellfish is all over
the
page.
They use it in the ink.
They put squid ink in there. That'd be pretty sweet. Did you ever hear about the comic book where they, like, the Kiss comic?
Yeah, I was about to mention
that. And the cover,
yeah,
and they put the Kiss, put their blood in.
Yeah.
We should do that Deep Fried Geek style.
Have a Deep Fried Geeks comic where we put our blood in
I think that'd be pretty sweet.
If anything, we should put, like, our beard grease in it.
We can put our beard grease in it, and then we could, like, put, like, crumbs of food we ate in it.
Grind it up
in the
ink. What's this chunky bit? Oh, it's a chunky.
And it could be, like, a Scratch and Sniff comic book.
What were they eating today?
We're eating Cheetos.
Snickers and Cheetos.
All of our favorite foods.
A little bit of shrimp.
Be pretty funny.
Oh, that'd be funny. That would be pretty interesting. That was an interesting thing for them to do, too, back to Kiss and putting their blood. It's interesting.
It is. That was a long time ago. It definitely was interesting.
Another 80s.
That wouldn't really plot fly nowadays.
Nowadays, it'd be just like, ew.
Yeah.
They're old rock stars. I think this comic has hepatitis.
That's gross. So, going in kind of to the movie now.
Yeah. All right. So, the movie came out. Start with that.
Ooh, boy.
Well, I'm going to start by saying this. It's really more two stories that they've combined together.
They have. I think where we need to start is we need to start with the hype.
Okay.
This has been hyped for a really long time.
Yeah, the last few years has really been
ever
hyped.
Since DC has been putting out their animated versions of remakes of books that have really been amazing. The Son of Batman, Flashpoint, The Red Hood.
Yeah.
All of these, they've done a really good job. Even All-Star Superman was really good. Justice League War was really good. That is their specialty. Like, Marvel has their movie universe. DC has their cartoon and their animated movie universe. And so I think there was... And so they had this hype of people wanting the Killing Joke. Wanting the Killing Joke. It kind of what I think who started it was Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
Kept kind of pushing it. You don't know Mark Hamill has been the voice of the Joker...
Since, like, what, 92,
93? Yeah, 90, since you were a baby.
We lived a lot.
A long time.
Tommy
he started with the Batman animated series. He was the voice of the Joker.
He just kind of happened to
just
that.
Yeah, and just kind of went on. And he's been voice of Joker in several different things, most notably the animated, and then the Arkham games,
yep.
And then now Killing Joke, and other things mixed in
other
there,
other random things, yeah.
And then Kevin Conroy... has always been the voice of Batman since this. So, kind of what they said is, hey, we're finally doing Killing Joke. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
And Mark Hamill's going to be the voice, and Kevin Conroy is going to be Batman. And the fanboys went, oh my god! And freaked out and lost their absolute minds. And then we got other great stuff. Bruce Timm, who was the one of the main animators for Batman Animated Series, was going to be the producer. And they're like, oh my god, take all my money now. And then they're like, Tara Strong, who's the voice of Batgirl, is going to be the voice of Batgirl. And they're like, take all my money.
Shut up and take my money.
And so people lost their minds. Because this should have been amazing.
Should have been.
It should have been amazing.
There was like, a
it should have been
hype for it. Yeah.
It should have been a no-brainer kind of situation. We went in the theater, right?
Yeah.
We got Monday tickets. So they're doing the theater release, and then they're doing
the DVD release. Digital release was the next day.
So we went in, and we sat down and chilled and whatever. And the first thing that happens is opens up is you get a little...
Vignette
of what?
Mark Hamill. Like,
Mark
basically
Hamill.
How Mark Hamill got into the biz. And then it went straight from, like, you know, how he became iconic with Star Wars. He just kind of happened upon it. And then, and how he became the Joker.
Right.
And his experiences with that.
That part was really cool.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
I listened to a lot of podcasts and a lot of geeky stuff. So I've heard all that. If you want to hear this, you can't see it on the thing. If you want to hear more about the story, listen to Kevin Smith's podcast, Batman, a Batman with Mark Hamill. Amazing. I could listen to Mark Hamill talk all day long.
Yeah, he does that.
Literally.
Yeah.
So check that out. It's pretty amazing. And yes. That might be one man that I would make out with.
You just make out with Mark?
Next week,
we have our topic, Matt makes out with Mark.
Thank God I'm not like Kevin Smith and everything I say in a podcast is like geek news all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Matt Mann from Deep Fried Geek says he wants to make out with Mark Hamill.
If you can make it happen, Kevin.
Right? That's funny. So that was great. That was really enjoyable.
Yeah.
I think they had other couple of people talk. And then they kind of go into the Killing Joke. They don't start how you would think they... Again, spoilers, if you haven't seen it yet. They don't start how you think they start, right?
Mm-mm.
They start with a whole separate kind of 25-minute story.
Yeah.
And who does it follow?
Batgirl.
It follows Batgirl. Is also Barbara Gordon. And it kind of starts off with like a car chase. So the story basically... is there's a up-and-coming villain. I like the villain. Like, I like the bad guy and what they're going for. I like that part. And he's trying to become a mob boss, kill his uncle or whatever. And he becomes infatuated with Batgirl.
Right.
And he's stalking her, and he's trying to set her up and fight her and all this stuff. And so all through this, Batman is trying to stop Batgirl. He's like, he's playing games.
You're getting too close.
You need to stay away. And the more he says you need to stay away... the closer she wants to get.
Yeah.
And so they slowly start this romance kind of sexual tension thing.
Yeah.
It starts very soft, and it just keeps building and building. So, he's telling her to go away and whatnot, and I like the story part. It's good. It felt very animated series to me, mm-hmm. probably because of Tara Strong's voice, probably because of Kevin Conroy's voice, but it definitely did our hark back to, like, an animated series. But then...
They climaxed.
Yes, they climaxed. And then they decide to go on a different route and be controversial. So I think at this point they're trying to be... Because they have an R rating... And because...
I didn't even realize it was R-rated.
Yes, it was R-rated.
It could have been PG-13. I mean, some of the violent parts, like, there was some of the... That maybe was...
We'll get into that in a little bit, too, in my opinion on that. And so they start fighting, which is cool.
She's like, no, you can't tell me what to do.
And then they just...
gotta go.
Yeah. And then they just go into full-out makeout session.
She, like, kisses him. And then he's like, okay.
And he just goes with it. And then they have a little mini sex scene. Which they don't show
not
anything.
Really. All you see is she's like sits up. She takes her top off.
We don't see anything. And you then just it see her back. Yeah. And then you see him put his hand on her butt.
Well, she's wearing a bra. She's like, she pulls her top off. You see the bra. And then it pans up. And that's it.
Yes. What did I do when that happened?
You literally were like, what?
I might have thrown up a little bit. I was very put off. You said you kind of read some reviews.
There was an article that I read that day that said something about the Batman sex scene is really upsetting, blah, 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 blah. I was like, what?
So you kind of knew it was coming.
I knew it was coming, but I didn't know if they were trying to imply it was like a deleted or a rumor scene.
I did not know it was coming.
It was in there.
So they did that whole story. And then, what makes it worse, they proceed to then have Batgirl pine after Batman... And become all teenage girl, like, upset about it.
Why wouldn't he talk to me? I didn't talk to him. Why did he do
it? It's just bad. And, again, I get where they were going. But that whole part, I think from that point on, ruined the rest of the movie for me.
Yeah.
I just had a bad taste in my mouth. It was like...
I think if you were taking that and doing its own original story, that would be one thing. But you're tying it into a very iconic story of Batman...
Right.
Which everybody, most people already know, and it just doesn't fit.
It does not. It did not seem like it fit to me. The part I did like about that beginning is I liked the villain, and then I liked the end, where she kind of comes, and what they could try to show is they're trying to show that Batman, Batgirl is strong, and she's like, I don't want this drama, we tainted our relationship, and she takes her outfit, and they're on a rooftop, and she drops it in a bag and says, I'm done.
She quits, yeah.
And she quits. And I thought that was kind of cool. And I did enjoy that. And then they're like, 1 week... And then she's like, but I didn't know what was going to happen 1 week later. And then they
then
start
they
the
start
killing
the killing joke storyline starts.
So, what your overall feeling of that beginning? Did you hate it as much as I did?
I feel like they could have just got rid of it and it would have been just fine.
Yeah. I think they put it in there for two reasons. They needed to make it longer.
Yeah, probably. It was only like an hour and 20-something minutes.
Right. And I think... I read online some things that they were trying to give... Make Batgirl not weak. They didn't just want to get her shot in the beginning. And just okay. Say, she's shot and not have any lead up. And I think kind of... A connection that I saw is that... That's why Batman started thinking about Joker. So I like that a little bit too. Is her relationship of starting with that freak kind of reminded him of his relationship
his
with Joker.
His most obsessive villain.
And that's why he was trying to stop her, I think.
Okay.
So then they go into the Killing Joke part. So if you've read the Killing... Here's what my issue with...
Which I think is a silly issue in my opinion, but alright, go ahead.
Well, what's my issue?
You don't like the fact that it's almost just like the comic.
Yes, I did not. You're right. I did not like that.
I just think it's the same issue. Because you have people out there who's like, they watched their, like, you know, they redid the X-Men, whatever. It's nothing like the comic, it's terrible. But you are like, it's too much like the comic. I don't like it.
Some things don't transfer well.
Uh-huh.
Right? some things are meant to stay on paper. Some things are meant for a movie. You can't put some movies on paper. You can't put some stories on film. And some stories need to be changed and adapted. Chronicles of Narnia, perfect example. Love the Chronicles of Narnia book. Chronicles of Narnia tattoo. That's my jam, right? Spiritual for me. I love it. But that does not transfer well to a movie.
I love the movies.
So, no. I love the movies too. But if they would have done the movies the same way they did the books, it would have been a 30-minute movie.
That's true, I guess.
Right? Because the book is super skinny. It is.
Those books are... They're for children.
So it needed to add stuff to it.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's what my feeling was with Killing Joke. They didn't add... They needed to put more meat to the Killing Joke story rather than focus on Batgirl and Batman.
The odd thing is the things that they added were like random things. So like there's a part where they like he's under a bridge talking to like a bunch of prostitutes. And right. They're like, oh, the Joker normally comes here right after he gets out of asylum.
Yeah, I don't think that was in the book at all.
No, it wasn't. No. That part, I don't understand why they added, but not like, you know, him interrogating other people, trying to find out where Joker is. Like, they could have expanded on some of that, but the random prostitutes just...
Yeah. So overall, if you wanted an exact adaptation of the comic, you got it.
Yeah, if you love the Killing Joke, this is perfect for you because
it's good. It's
spot on.
Like, it's okay. And the good parts are you get the Joker's... You get Mark Hamill as Joker. Did a good job. Kevin Conroy as Batman. Great.
Mm.
Right? A lot of cool scenes. But my overall issue with it is it just felt that like...
It wasn't very imaginative.
It wasn't imaginative. It felt like you had Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill sitting in a room with the comic book, reading.
Like we did about 20 minutes.
That's exactly what it felt like to me. Okay. What are things that you did not like about it?
Besides doing the whole prequel story with Batgirl, I agree. It was too short. The actual Killing Joke part was... It was just like the comic, and it just kind of was too short. I think they could have expanded a little bit more on that.
Right. Okay, so it was a little too short. Again, that stinking
ending.
Yeah. And that's another thing I didn't like. They kind of ruined the ending. It was similar to the comic, but he had his hands on his shoulders, and then they left it color. In the comic, it's a silhouette in a storm. So you don't know if his hands are on his shoulders or if they're wrapped around his neck.
Yeah.
And so you're losing that interpretation. That's one of the biggest things about that book is the interpretation of the story. So you need that ending. And they didn't have that. And so they lead up this whole thing and then they're just like... Bah! I don't know.
I think that's what makes more sense to me. That's probably what they actually did in that ending. Because otherwise it would have just been like any other Batman where he just grabs him, goes to Arkham, and tosses him.
I am not very often a very critical fanboy. You know that. You think I am?
Sometimes. You get on your soapbox a lot for someone who's not critical.
I don't think I'm as critical as some people
are. You're not like on the internet saying, this is garbage, right. My childhood is ruined. Stuff like that.
They have to do a lot to ruin my childhood, I think. Things I liked about it.
Okay.
Things I liked about it. I liked the Broadway-type musical.
That, I think, was good. Because there was a little thing at the end that they kind of talk about the madness and the music.
Right.
How they made the music for it.
That was pretty sweet.
And that's something that I didn't think about. Well, they were talking about the scene where Jim's going through on the little coaster and looking at all the pictures of Barbara and stuff. In a comic book... Joker singing, it just kind of comes off as, you know, he's like just talking this riddle where he's just rhyming. Uh-huh. So the way they storyboard it is they kind of storyboard it like a Broadway musical where this whole, you know, there's peaks and lows and accenting certain parts and dancing. It was almost choreographed. So that part I thought was kind of cool.
They did a very good job with it. Mark did a very good job with reading that.
Yeah, reading that and singing it too.
And like singing it. He did very well. I really liked that. I thought that was very, very good. I love the voices.
Mm-hmm.
The voices were great. I liked the beginning, and I liked the Mark Hamill, and I liked the end. And overall, I mean, the animation was good too. It was just like in the book. So there was a lot of good stuff. I'm not going to buy it on DVD.
Yeah, I agree. The whole Batgirl thing just kind of detained it.
Kind of ruined it for me. And a lot of people's complaints online, there's some people defending it and saying, well, they've done that before in the comics. I guess there's a couple other one-offs and maybe like another show where they did it into. I've never seen that before, and I've watched a lot of Batman.
There's nobody top Tim Drake.
Yeah, right? or Dick Grayson.
Yeah, but I think Tim Drake's the one who actually marries her, though.
Yeah, Batgirl gets around, man.
She's wheeling around. <I'm telling
you>. Oh, my gosh! Not only are we saying the B word, we're making fun of the handicap today.
She's handicapped!
Oh, my gosh.
She's paralyzed. Spoilers.
She is, unfortunately. but I think she does more as Oracle than she ever did as Batgirl.
Yeah. She seems a lot smarter.
When she's Oracle?
I don't know.
The bullet was give her superpowers. Some mind powers.
Honed her senses.
You know what I'm going to say, though? If you haven't seen it in the theater, go out and buy it.
Yeah.
It's worth
Red
watching.
Redbox it, whatever, when it comes
Redbox
out.
Redbox it. It might come out on Netflix because they got some DC animated stuff on Netflix.
Some stuff, yeah.
The other thing I wanted to ask you, Tom, do you think it needed an R rating? We kind of talked about that a little bit.
Not really. I mean, the only real R rating parts to it is there's a few times where there's like gunfights and you see people get shot in the head.
Right in the head, like sniper shot. Boom.
Boom. And like you see the bullet wound and stuff like that. So there wasn't cursing. You didn't see anything in the sex
scene.
I think
there might have been one.
Maybe
one
they said like a hole
or
something. I think.
And then, yeah, nothing big.
But you could say that in a PG.
Nothing in the sex scene.
Yeah.
That sex scene was nothing. You get worse watching 7 o'clock television.
TV. Yeah, exactly. It was much worse than that on television. Yeah. So I don't think.
And then you got the scene where Barbara gets shot, and then they just show him taking a piece of her bra off.
Yeah.
And then
they don't even show like in the comic book. They don't really show much. Like
the only naked Barbara parts you see. Is her butt in the comic.
Yeah, that's about it.
I don't think you see her butt in the animated. Mm-hmm. I don't remember seeing that.
No.
I don't think it needed an R rating.
I don't think so either.
I think it almost felt like they were saying, it's R rated, because they wanted to get the first ever DC animated R rated movie.
Oh, yeah. That whole thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think they screwed up a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's still good. Still see it. Watch it. Put it in your eyes. It's still creative. I hate knocking people's art. It's ultimately good. It's worth consuming. It is worth consuming. To see a different take. And for you to get your own opinion. Watch it. Get your own opinion. If you think I'm an idiot or being overcritical, please tell me. Because Tom thinks I'm being overcritical. Tell us. Let me know if you think I'm being overcritical or not. So, overall, Tom, we usually do like a 10-star rating thing. You had to give it stars out of 10. What would you give the Killing Joke animated DC first ever R-rated movie?
A 6.
You give it a 6.
Yeah.
I would give it... I don't want to give it too low. Because then you're going to get mad at me and say I'm being overcritical.
What, 4 then?
Oh, man. I don't even know if I was going to give it a 4.
Oh, boy.
I'll give it a 3.
3? Okay.
I'll give it a 3. Here's what the 3 is for. Mark Hamill, Kevin Conroy, Tara Strong.
There you go.
That's my 3.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, Kevin Conroy said it was going to be great, so... Not saying he's a liar.
Kevin Conroy did tell us it was going to be great. No.
Actually, he said Mark Hamill.
He said Mark is amazing. Yeah, Mark knocks it out of the park. So he was like, the movie fucking sucks.
But Mark Hamill knocks it out of the park.
I had sex with Batgirl.
So I don't know how you're like that, but Mark Hamill just knocks it out of the park.
But Mark Hamill was amazing. We're at an hour. Usually we only go about an hour, but we have a lot of other stuff to cover.
We do. Do we want to keep going?
I think we need to keep going. We
gotta press on. It's going to be another long episode, folks. So if you've made it this far,
thank you.
You
want to keep listening.
You're the reason why we do this.
Because we're going to cover a lot of San Diego Comic-Con news
now. So much daggum news.
Geek news!
I'm so tired from staying up and looking at so much geek news, I can't say what.
geek news. Little bit of,
San Diego. Wonder Woman, I love you.
Okay. Oh, man, right? Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman!
Little bit of warning here. We're gonna miss stuff. There's
no way we can get
there's
everything.
There's no way
that's
we can
out.
Cover everything.
There's so much.
What we're going to talk about are our highlights or favorite parts from the news from San Diego Comic-Con.
Okay.
I think pretty much all of the news that we're talking about is from the con, really. So if we miss something, don't get mad. I think we now have geek cred. Read it. Look it up online. Check out your own thing. First thing I want to mention that's not on here. If you did not watch any of the IMD Kevin Smith stuff from Comic-Con, you were missing out.
Yeah.
He had interviews with Stan Lee. They basically had a bromance where they were going to make out on the camera.
Oh.
Pretty amazing. He had an interview with the Walking Dead cast.
Nice.
Pretty great. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Newt from Aliens. Lots of good stuff. Kevin is a wordsmith and great
Kevin,
with his words.
Kevin the wordsmith Smith.
That's funny. So, I'm sure they're still up on IMDb. Go check that out. Of all the Comic-Con news, too. So, you can read all that there. Watch those videos. Did you catch any of that last week?
No.
Very good, man. You need to look it up. First, my opinion, biggest thing, nobody saw this coming.
Mm-hmm.
Justice League. So, they did a panel, DC did, and they put some Justice League footage out there. They're calling it a trailer now. I think a lot of people didn't even know they were that far into principal filming to have that much footage.
Yeah, it sounds like they're.
And
like
that's why it
done.
Was pretty surprising.
It comes out next year, so they have to have a good amount. Yeah.
So if you haven't watched it yet, hit the pause button, watch the trailer.
Pause.
Now you're back. Amazing,
play.
Right? Great stuff. My favorite part of the trailer is the beginning when he's talking to Aquaman.
That part
super good.
Cool.
If that doesn't get you excited for Aquaman, I don't know what's going to.
I think now,
excited.
I think for the longest time, like fanboys be hating on Aquaman a lot, and now they finally have an Aquaman that's just BA.
Yep, he is pretty BA. For what made me fall in love with Aquaman and like him a little bit more, Batman: Brave and the Bold. That okay. Aquaman, super good. He was good in that. But this Aquaman is like a badass.
He is
played by Jason Momoa. Who's from Games of Thrones.
He was.
So that was kind of my favorite part of that.
He did.
He is. Khal Drogo or something
like that.
Yeah. Bruce is basically going through and meeting all of the.
He's the Phil Coulson of the. Of the DC universe.
I think what they're. Yes, he is. What they're trying to do is they're trying to create that speed of a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
They're trying to create the funny jokes.
Yeah.
Da 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 da. Which is cool. Right? So they're trying to say, I know we know Batman Superman was so dark and you didn't like it that much and it was scary and it frightened you. Here, we can be funny now. That's what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Did you
it
like
still had the, some like dark
it did feel dark
to
still.
It too.
Did you like the trailer?
I thought it was good. It was good. It made me pump for it.
What didn't you like about the trailer?
Another thing, they're just not necessarily that they're giving away too much, is that I feel like they're gonna be packing too much into one movie.
Yeah, they're going to be packing a lot into it. They're going to be packing a lot into it, for sure. And even this, for being the first trailer, just even footage, not trailer, they show so much nowadays. Like, so much
They didn't really show
footage.
Too much of the villain, though.
They didn't.
That
but
I do
will.
Like what they didn't do.
But they will.
But they will. You sure? I ain't gonna watch any more trailers.
Hopefully they learned from Batman Super. I got you, man. I'm a trailer whore. I'm sorry. I think we just went in the R-rated category.
We're done.
Now.
We've just flipped the switch.
I'm a trailer junkie, is a better word. I'm a trailer junkie, man. I
hook him up.
I try to say, like, I don't want to watch it, but I do.
I've been pretty good at staying
away. I'm gonna be overcritical again.
All right, here we go.
Break I down. Liked it. What I didn't like, I hope that they show in the movie Batman doing reconnaissance work on these characters.
Okay.
Because my Batman,
the detective,
would never go as Bruce Wayne and introduce these to all these people he doesn't know and say, "I'm Batman." He would never do that.
You're right. That is kind of odd.
And that's the thing that bugged me a little bit.
He did it as Bruce Wayne.
He wouldn't do it as Bruce Wayne. So I'm hoping that in the movie they're like, oh, and he's doing months of reconnaissance work, and he's like, I trust these people and know who they are. I'm showing them myself because to be vulnerable to them because I need them.
Okay.
Batman wouldn't do that. I don't think he would. And that's what kind of bugged me a little bit.
Well, for the longest time, nobody knew that Batman was Bruce Wayne.
Right.
Not even the Justice League, so.
Right. So it bugged me a little bit. Other than that, I did enjoy it. It made me feel like a kid. Just a little 2-minute trailer was fun. So if you haven't watched it, watch it.
Okay, next.
Good. Wonder Woman trailer.
Wonder Woman.
Don't know a whole lot about Wonder Woman.
Not too much either.
I do not. I have never really... The only stuff I know about Wonder Woman is from like Justice League stuff.
Yeah.
It's still good.
It looked really good.
I enjoyed
Very
it.
Very action-packed.
Everything really cool. That was great about Wonder Woman from Batman v Superman, they put in the trailer.
Expect more of that.
That music, that sweet music
she
has.
Yeah, pretty cool music going.
Pretty cool music.
Epic fighting music.
They've got that in there.
Fighting Nazis, I'm not sure
what she's using the lasso.
That was pretty sweet, yeah.
It glows every time she uses it. Pretty sweet.
Pretty sweet.
She's straight up knifing people with a sword.
Shank.
Pretty
shiv,
sweet.
Ganked.
Her romantic interest.
Chris Pine. Pine. Romance.
His name in the comic is...
I don't know. I can't
take my geek card away. The Prime Romance.
Call it a Prime
Steve
Romance.
Tyler. Something like that.
Huh?
Yeah, I don't
Steve
know.
Steve Tyler from Aerosmith?
No, that's he's
Steven
in it.
Tyler, I guess.
And then, so it's really cool. They're doing like an old era of Wonder Woman. Kind of like Captain America where they did
which
that.
Which I love that part. Like Captain America, the First Avenger.
They probably watched Captain America First Avenger like 70 times.
Rewind it. We gotta capture this. Capture this magic. Okay.
Sweet trailer.
Sweet trailer. Good trailer.
Anything you didn't like about it?
There's not much plot to it in the trailer,
which I guess is kind of a good thing.
But like, I like to know sort of what I'm getting into. Like, who's she fighting?
Yeah.
What's going on here? I don't know. There's just too much mystery.
Yeah. Something for me that I didn't... Lots of mystery. Something for me I didn't like is the same thing I didn't like Batman v Superman. Something about her accent, man. Something about when
half the time she has an accent.
Something about the way she talks just kind of throws me off. I don't know.
She's so pretty. I don't know.
It just throws me off. Something.
Half the time she's saying words. I'm sorry. What'd you
still
say?
Excited. Still think it's going to be
fun. Could you repeat that?
That's coming out soon too. I think we thought 2016 was crazy with movies. 2017, we're not going to have any.
It's
going to
be no. We're just going to be. Yeah. You may barely see us.
More news. Flash Season 3 trailer.
That says Fash.
I don't think we watched that for
What's
you.
A Fash?
Did you? That's just a typo.
Oh, you were typing so fast you didn't get all the letters in there?
Did you watch Season 3 Flash trailer?
Yes.
Oh, you did?
Who did I watch? I don't know if it was with you. I watched it, yeah.
The big thing is
Flashpoint.
It's good.
It was good.
Good trailer.
Yeah.
Very good. Showed a lot of cool Flashpoint-y things.
Barry's going around trying to rekindle all his friendships. Everything's different. He doesn't know what to do.
Cisco's a big rich jerk.
Yeah. Don't call me Cisco. It was Reverse Flash is like, who's the bad guy now?
Yeah.
Who's the bad guy
now?
That was pretty
cool. It looks like it's going to be good. It really made me want to watch Season 2. So that was super cool. Kevin Smith is going to be doing another episode
again
in Season 3 too. Yeah. Moving on. Luke Cage trailer.
So when I heard about when Daredevil came out and then they were announcing Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, I was so excited for Luke Cage because in my opinion Luke Cage is so awesome that the fact that he hasn't gotten his own spotlight movie by now is amazing to me because he's so cool.
He is such a cool character. Sweet Christmas.
Sweet Christmas.
Very charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
very...
Another one with a hero at heart. He wants to do the right thing, no matter what, even if it costs him his own life.
I've never been a huge...
Which he's died.
Luke
so.
Cage. Oh, has he?
He died before.
I've never been a huge Luke Cage Power Man guy. I've never read it. I'm sure if I went back and read some of the comics, I'd probably dig them. Mm-hmm. But I've never really gotten super into them. But this trailer, man, touched me in all the right places. It was good. The music...
There's your R rating.
The music was pretty dang good.
Yeah. Some
Old Dirty Bastard, that's who that was.
Oh, that was? I thought... Well, I know they're doing, like, Conquest. What's the whole
thing? Yeah, the, Tribe Called Quest. Tribe Called Quest is doing a lot of the soundtrack, but that was ODB.
That was ODB.
I did like that a lot. I liked the scene where he's using his power and going nuts and slamming people through the ceiling.
Like punching through walls, ripping studs out the wall, beating people
up. It was
great,
man. So if you haven't seen that trailer,
watch
it.
Getting lit up by bullets and just like, not gonna stop me.
If you don't know, Netflix, you must be living under the rock. Netflix is...
Under the Rock. That would be an awesome place to
live. I want to be under the rock.
Do you smell? Yes, I smell. Because I live under you.
They did Daredevil Season 1, Daredevil Season 2, Jessica Jones. They're leading into...
Daredevil, Jessica Jones.
Right, sorry.
Daredevil.
They're leading into The Defenders, which is a superhero group. And so they're doing Luke Cage, and then they have to do Iron Fist as well. So Luke Cage trailer was sweet. That's coming out 2017.
No, Luke Cage comes out September 20th.
Luke Cage comes out September
30th.
September 30th, 2016. Iron Fist, comes out 2017.
Right.
And then
the Daredevil 3, too.
And Daredevil 3. So they announced Luke Cage, trailer of the date. They did an Iron Fist teaser trailer, which you really liked.
On Netflix. I thought it was really cool.
That was pretty fun, too. Very short. A lot shorter than
the
Luke Cage
one.
They
seem to be going like a lot more in the origin of that one than like some of the other ones.
Which is cool, right? It's pretty good. And then they have a little Defenders teaser trailer, too. Yeah. I loved it because I've always loved Nirvana. And they have Come As You Are as the music. And that just made me feel all good all over the place, too. And it's cool. They're doing like the little like newspaper strips cutouts, and it looked really cool. That was good too. So all around, Netflix won Comic Con. I think
they're on top of the world right now.
Them and DC, man. I don't know, but Netflix. I think the series in Marvel.
They have maybe a good business strategy going because they're cornering that streaming market.
They are. They're doing a really good job with that. Netflix, buy Netflix stock, people. Stranger Things.
Everybody's talking about Stranger Things. My mom talking about Stranger Things.
Yeah, man, so good. So that's all the Netflix stuff. Watch all those trailers back to back. They're great. I'll probably watch it 7 more times.
Next,
Doctor Strange trailer, the second one.
Yeah,
it was good, man.
It was good. It was actually what I was hoping for in the first one. You actually see some more of that mysticism,
right?
He's famous for
it. It made me more excited.
Yep.
The first one, it was like, this looks like Inception.
It was very trippy and like, yeah.
Yeah. This one, it looked more original.
Yeah.
It had some more Inception-y type stuff, but it was still kind of more original, and I dug it. You got to see him wearing the eye, and then putting the cape on,
and using spells,
getting to see the villains,
and
using
and
spells, going through portals, and it looks really cool. Benedict Cumberbatch...
I think that was just
amazing
smart casting on that one.
I think that's what Marvel wins every single
day.
They have
done an awesome job casting incredible people.
Right. Hey, Tom, speaking of Marvel casting.
Yes.
Marvel also announced that Brie Larson is going to be Captain Marvel.
Oh, really?
Brie Larson, I would consider kind of an up-and-coming actress. She's been in a couple different things. I'm going to pull out a list because I can't think of any in my mind right now. She is a little newer. I think the reason why we think she's newer is because she's not really in stuff that we watch. She is in 21 Jump Street.
Or she's in Kong Skull Island. It looks good.
Yep, she's in Kong Skull Island. She's in The Gambler, The Trainwreck she was in. which I guess is a pretty popular movie, right, too. Sure. She was in Community, the TV series. Mm-hmm. Bitter Orange, which is a short. So she is kind of newer, but still, 21 Jump Street, probably her biggest thing in Community, yeah, too. I heard she's a very good actress. I've never seen her in anything. Everybody that, any reviews I read or whatever, people are freaking out that she is, she's Captain Marvel.
I mean, I could be a Marvel star.
You could be.
Hello, Disney.
Amadeus Cho. You're not Asian, so I guess I won't.
Darn it. Awesome. I could be Rick Jones. They still don't have a Rick Jones in them.
Rick Jones, bitch! Is that a different Rick Jones?
That's Rick James.
Rick James! Rick James, bitch! It had to work because that's the word of the day. All right, Pee-wee. You gotta...
Oh, man.
Oh, we're all over the place today, man. We can never go past an hour.
This just starts getting real loopy.
Disneyland. So, Brie Larson, Captain Marvel, pretty sweet.
I think that'd be cool.
This is crazy.
Captain Marvel is just like the next big up-and-coming Marvel, so it makes sense.
Yes.
Anyway, go ahead.
Disney made another big announcement. A little controversial here. Disneyland announced that they're closing Hollywood Tower of Terror.
That's interesting, yeah.
In California Adventure, whatever they call that
park. Yeah, it's called that.
So, they're closing it in Disneyland. So, for you Florida people...
You're fine.
We're safe.
Hollywood Studios,
we're good. We're good. We're safe. And they're opening Guardians of the Galaxy ride in Tower of Terror. Cool that they're opening Guardians of the Galaxy ride. Questioning closing down Tower of Terror.
Right.
Disney knows what they're doing.
Yeah, they do.
They do. They're probably looking at numbers and everything else. There's, bless
you. How many people are riding it? It's probably, yeah, not as good.
There's got to be something behind the reason why they're closing it. But that's big news. Little, just quick, Guardians of the Galaxy ride is based on The Collector.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a new collection item for his showcase, and it's the Guardians of the Galaxy. He bought them. He owns them now. They're a little showcase. So he's doing a showcase to show you his newest part of the collection. Rocket Raccoon, who can escape out of anything,
yep,
escapes, and he takes you on an adventure,
yeah,
to
be funny if, like,
save the rest of
him and Howard the Duck escape, because that was one
that'd
thing
be
that
cool. They got to have
last
Howard
comic.
That would be pretty funny.
He was in Guardians number one.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be funny. Because, like, in the last year when they did the Howard the Duck run, it was him and Rocket were captured by the Collector and they escaped.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool. So, how do you feel about that, Tom?
I think it's a good idea. Sounds like they're basing more on the comic, which is cool. I think that's a great way to not only just, you know, the movie's going to tie people into the universe, the,
yeah,
Marvel universe, and just get them loving.
Yeah.
Just get that Marvel loving going.
How do you feel about Close the Tower of Terror?
That's an interesting decision.
Yeah.
Because, like, in the Florida version, people love Tower of Terror. So, I don't understand why they would close it in California Adventure.
Doesn't make any sense, yeah, to me. But again, I trust Disney because they own everything I love, and they have done a pretty darn good job with everything, man. They don't own you.
They don't? You sure?
They own pretty much everything I love, pop culture.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much.
I mean,
much.
If they wanted
pretty
to
close.
Pay me like $1 million, I'll let them own.
Yeah. Yeah. Just keep giving me Star Wars movies.
Star Wars, Marvel, we'll be happy.
More great news from Disney. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of got out of it a little bit. They're like, hey, we know we lost you, but all you fans, come back, because here's Ghost Rider.
I think that's a pretty interesting idea, because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s always been more of the, like, logic and science stuff. To bring,
yeah,
Ghost Rider in the mix is going to, like, throw Coulson upside down.
Very interesting. Definitely throwing in a little bit of supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting choice. Robbie Reyes is the version of Ghost Rider.
Okay.
There's been 4 or 5 different Ghost Riders.
Okay.
Robbie Reyes has a car, I guess. I've never read this version. But
Johnny Blaze. Yeah, Johnny Blaze.
That's the one I'm most familiar with, too. So he's gonna
with
be
the
in
motorcycle.
It. They started with, like, some chains on a bus, kind of teased everybody, and then at Comic-Con they were like, they showed a picture of him. And a little poster.
Vengeance begins.
Yeah, and they're like, here, September. Ghost Rider in your face. So that's pretty exciting. I think that's cool. Fox, I believe, owned Ghost Rider for a while.
Yes.
They gave us those movies.
Yeah, I think they just lost that. That's.
Yeah, and they were like, this did not do as good as we hoped.
No, they did not.
You can have it back. They weren't that good.
They were okay.
I didn't see the second one. I haven't.
I didn't see the second one either. I still want to see it because I was like, oh, don't watch, it's terrible, which makes me want to watch it even more.
So that's pretty exciting, especially if you're a comic fan. Other big news, not for Comic-Con, but Batman Superman Ultimate Edition came out this past week. I bought it, watched it once. I'm probably going to watch it a second time. It's good. It's better. Lots of lead-in stuff. Lots more action. Towards the second part, you get more Batman and stuff. A lot more clues. A lot more leading up to.
Yeah, a lot more
explaining. One of my biggest issues was that they didn't explain a lot of stuff. They just expected you to know
to just understand. Like, all right, so they go into this scene, and right. this happened, but
and then while you're watching it, when we watched it the first time, I was confused. I'm like, where are they going?
Yeah, there's a lot
this?
Of times where it seemed like the time span doesn't make sense. Like, is this the same day? Is it the same week? It seems like a month later. What's happening?
The Ultimate Edition does a lot better job.
Okay.
This is 3 hours long. I looked up. The original was 225.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So this is 3 hours. So it's good. Buy it. Even if you didn't like Batman Superman, buy it. Watch it. So much better. Makes a lot more sense. Whew. That was a long episode, man. It was a good one. We probably missed a lot of geek news from the last week. There's so much that I just tried to pick the best of the best of the best.
Let us know your favorite stuff from the con.
Yeah, tell us on Twitter,
like Walking
Instagram,
Dead. I know
Facebook.
There's a big Walking Dead thing. I know we didn't really talk about it, but season 7 trailer came out.
It's season 7. That was a good trailer. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that as well. That was really enjoyable.
Whatever, just post or anything that you thought was neat. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, just let us know.
For sure. If there's other things you want us to be talking about, tell us about that too. Holler at us. Hey, Tom.
Holler at your boy.
Guess what, buddy?
What, buddy?
It's the end of the episode.
It's the end?
Yeah.
Is this the episode that somewhat ends? It doesn't go on and on, right, my friend?
I'm just going to say bitch one more time to get a 14 count.
14.
Keep calm.
And bitch on.
And geek on.